the end of verse 8. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then over in the last half of 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I claim those verses many times, brethren, and the Lord's victory comes on again. Shall we kneel for prayer and thank the Lord for this? Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who gained victory over the devil at his birth, during his life, during his death especially, and his resurrection. And we as his children, we are a child of God, and we thank you for this blessing. And through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we thank you for the victory today. We thank you for the trial, but it was to your name's honor and glory. And we claim Matthew 5:16, that any good thing that we do gives to the glory of God. We pray now as we open your word that the devil will be exposed, truth and error will triumph, and your people will be grounded more and firmer into the truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This subject has come up several times in the Q&A time during the week, and especially after the sermons on Sabbath. And so since I had a study on it, and I've been gathering more verses since, I'd like to share some of what we can. And as Bonnie typed in, for those who are on the chat room, if you could scroll down to Great Controversy, which she has in the room, down to page 624. And for those, or if you have the book, Great Controversy, the 1911 edition, and page 624 and 625, we'll be reading and talking through those two pages as we go through here with other references. Let's start with Matthew 24. Near the end of Christ's ministry, the disciples are asking Jesus about what's going to happen in the last days. What's going to happen, Lord? You know, they were interested. You know, what are we going to face? You really want to know? But Christ pointed out in Matthew 24, many other places too, but it's more concise in chapter 24. You can also find it in Luke 21 and Mark 13, very similar verses on what Christ said shall happen in the last days. And I believe we are there. Let's see. Let's go to Matthew 24, starting with verse 23. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That last half of that verse 24, we could spend the whole time just on that. But let's continue. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. So Christ says, this is a remembrance. Verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Pretty clear, isn't it? For a number of years that we have been told that the Messiah has come. I remember in the mid-80s up in Oregon, this guru comes over from India, I believe it was, and sets up camp up there in the deserts of eastern Oregon, and busloads and busloads and busloads of people coming to the camp to be deceived. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's all over the place. Satan is getting bolder and bolder and bolder. In Great Controversy, in the middle of page 624, the paragraph starts, as the crowning act in the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. What does that mean? What will Satan do to personate Christ? What does that word personate mean? Because many ministries, many pastors and pulpits will use the word impersonate. So is that an incorrect spelling of the word impersonate? I think we need to understand that before we understand what God is saying here. So, what does the word personate mean? What does it mean that Satan himself will personate Christ? If you go to the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I was blessed with a few years ago, and I use it to compare the new dictionaries, and there are a lot of differences. So, for Noah's Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to represent by a fictitious or assumed character as so to pass for the person represented. Another definition, to represent by action or appearance, to counterfeit or to feign. So the word personate means that Satan will come as Christ. So, what does the word impersonate mean? The word impersonate means that an actor whose name you might recognize or not is playing a part in a play or a movie, playing a part that we know it's not really the actor, but he's playing a part of some person. We know it's not really, he's not really that person, but he's acting out the parts that they think the person would do. That's impersonate. But personate means Satan will come thinking or causing people to think that he is Christ. This is what the dictionary definitions are. So let's go back up the page a little bit, page 624 of the Great Controversy, and read and see if this is what God is telling us as we read through here a little bit. Starting in the paragraph, the Apostle John in vision heard a loud voice in heaven exclaiming, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." That's quoting Revelation 12:12. Fearful are the scenes which call forth this exclamation from the heavenly voice. The wrath of Satan increases as his time grows short, and his work of deceit in destruction will reach its culmination in the time of trouble. Fearful sights of the supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heaven, and a token of power of miracle-working demons, the spirit of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to fasten them in deception, to urge them on to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will be alike deceived. Person will arise pretending to be Christ himself and claiming the title and worship which belong to the world's Redeemer. What are we saying in these last couple sentences? Persons will arise pretending to be Christ, claiming the title and worship which belongs to the world redeemer. The sentence before, by these agencies, the rulers and subjects will alike be deceived. This is what we call personation of Christ. They're not coming as the Pope or some person. No, they're coming and claiming that they are Christ. Just like we read in Matthew 24. Reading on in the paragraph, they will perform wonderful miracles of healing and will profess to have revelations from heaven, contradicting the testimony of the scriptures. So how are we going to know if it's right, if they are right? Well, we're told in Matthew 24 that we read that if we said he's out in the desert, he's over here, he's over there, he's in a secret chamber, go not forth, believe it not. You know, God is very clear in when he wants to say something to us. In case we didn't get it the first time, he repeats it again. That's what he does in the Bible many times. That's what he does in Spirit of Prophecy. So there will be many people claiming to be Jesus Christ. We've had some already in our days. Some more pronounced than others. More popular than others. But they go by the wayside. Why? Because the devil is playing games. He's not really playing games. He's serious. But most people think he's playing games. No, he is serious. That's what we just read in Revelation 12, verse 12, and other places. Going around as a roaring lion, First Peter says, seeking whom he may devour. Not to play with, but devour. And as God's people, we have a hedge of angels around us, if we will allow it to happen, if we will participate in giving God's message. Will we be tempted and tried? Oh, yes. But that's part of the testing of our character. But that's another subject. Let's continue reading Great Controversy, page 624. As the crowning act of the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as a consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation, and then it mentions Revelation 1, verses 13 to 15. Beautiful definition. I encourage you to read it later. But what? How is Satan coming? Is he coming that every eye shall see him, like we're reading here back in Revelation or Matthew 24, verse 27? As the lightning shines from the east to the west? No. What does it say? Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself. So, praise the Lord. If we know God's word in our hearts and our minds, because if we don't, brothers and sisters, we go back up to Matthew 24, verse 24, but for the elect's sake, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Why won't they deceive the very elect? Because the very elect are grounded and planted firm upon the thus saith the Lord. They know their Bibles. They know what will happen when Christ comes. They know that anything else, whatever it be, is false, is of the devil. Do we know how Christ will come? Will we be deceived? God's people will not be deceived. There's no question about it in my mind. The more I read, God's people will not be deceived. So, if we're going to be deceived, that'll be a sign right there that we are not part of God's people. Let's continue reading here in Great Controversy. And look for the words, the phrases of the personation of Satan, personating Christ. Continue reading. It says, the glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air. Christ has come. Christ has come. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him, while he lifts up his hands and pronounces the blessings upon them, as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon this earth. Are we catching the words of that God has given us here? To tell that it's Satan is personating Christ? He's coming out of Christ. He's doing some wonderful blessings, pronouncing blessings upon him. Satan can do that. Yes, he can. Continue talking about Satan. His voice is soft and subdued, yet full of melody in gentle, compassionate tones. He presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He heals diseases of the people. And then, in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday and commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. He didn't start out there. He starts out wooing, drawing the people, and working with their senses. Brothers and sisters, the truth, God's given us emotions. He's given us senses, but the devil is willing and very able to abuse them unless we stand with the Lord and his truth. It gives us several parts in here, which we won't cover them all, that is Satan finally starts getting bolder and bolder. Just like with the temptations of Christ, as you read through Desire of Ages, even Matthew 4, Satan doesn't come as the devil to him the first time. He comes as an angel of light. As an angel from heaven, Satan comes to Christ back in the wilderness of temptation. It wasn't until his third temptation, Desire of Ages says, that he finally started coming out bold as who he really was. But Christ, in his relationship with his Father, in his knowing the truth, he was able to withstand the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7, what does it say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the way I was raised. But when I finally read the verse, found out where it was, James chapter 4, verse 7, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So on our own, we can't resist the devil. Christ couldn't resist the devil on his own during the time of temptation in his life on earth. How come he spent so much time with his Father? Because he knew it. He felt the need. He knew that he had to be able to be our Savior. Skipping down a little bit, it says in that same paragraph, this is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. Like the Samaritans who were deceived by Simon Magnus, the multitudes from least to the greatest give heed to these sorceries, saying, this is the great power of God, Acts chapter 8, verse 10. And then the first main paragraph of page 625 of Great Controversy, brothers and sisters, I pray this is us. But the people of God will not be misled. The teachings of this false Christ are not in accordance with the Scriptures. His blessing is pronounced upon the worshippers of the beast and his image, the very class upon whom the Bible declares God's unmingled wrath shall be poured out. And then, the beginning of the next paragraph, another blessing for us. And furthermore, Satan is not permitted to counterfeit the manner of Christ's advent. The Savior has warned his people against deception upon this point and has clearly foretold the manner of his second coming. And then it quotes several of them, and then the end of that paragraph, he gives us Matthew 24 through 27 and verse 31, chapter 25, verse 31, Revelation 1, 7, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, and it says, this coming is there is no possibility of counterfeiting. It will be universally known, witnessed by the whole world. And it says, only those who have been diligent students of the scriptures and who have received the love of truth will be shielded from the powerful delusions that take the world captive. And I would encourage you to read that whole area by yourself sometime this week, this afternoon, and to understand what Satan is doing here. So, what we're reading here in Great Controversy, I believe, supports the definition that we were given of the difference between personate, which is claiming to be Christ or not really, and impersonate, being an actor playing the part of a person. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 471. Fundamentals of Christian Education. If you're looking on a computer, it would be FE 471. You can also find it in the devotional book Maranatha, page 205. Satan is striving to gain every advantage. He desires to secure not only students, but teachers. He has his plans laid, disguised as an angel of light. He will walk the earth as a wonder worker. In beautiful language, he will present lofty sentiments. Good works will be spoken by him, and good deeds performed. Christ will be personified, but on one point, there will be a marked distinction. Satan will turn to people from the law of God. Notwithstanding this, so well will he counterfeit righteousness that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. Crowned heads, presidents, rulers in high places will bow to his false theories. Instead of giving place to criticism, division, jealousy, and rivalry, those in our schools, and I would add in our home churches, in our families, continue on, those in our schools should be one in Christ. Only thus can they resist the temptations of the archdeceiver. So let's look at a couple of these characteristics here. Are we giving place to criticism, division, jealousy, rivalry? Then we are working against Christ and unity that he has called us for in John 17. Bible Commentary, Volume 6, page 1105, under the comments of, under 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. Satan came as an angel of light in the wilderness of temptation to deceive Christ, and he does not come to man in a hideous form, as he is sometimes represented, but as an angel of light. He will come personating Jesus Christ, working mighty miracles, and men will fall down and worship him as Christ Jesus. We shall be commanded to worship this being, whom the world will glorify as Christ. What shall we do? Tell them that Christ has warned us against just such a foe, who is man's worst enemy, yet who claims to be God, and that when Christ shall make his appearance, it will be with power and great glory, accompanied by 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of angels, that when he shall come, we shall know his voice. brothers and sisters, we don't need to be deceived by the devil, by pastors, by ministries that are teaching erroneous, false theories, fanaticisms. We can know by a thus saith the Lord. What does his word say? Don't take my word for it. I would encourage you to study this out for yourself, because I don't want any of you to be deceived. I want each of us to be part of the elect group of God at the end. Or, if it were possible, be the very elect. Brothers and sisters, I pray that each of us may be God's very elect. We have faith and trust in him now, that we may be able to hold fast, that God may be able to be the author and finisher of our faith. Finisher. Not only the author, but finisher. I pray that as we study this out, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, being workmen who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Brothers and sisters, don't take anybody's word for it. Search it out for yourself. Say, God, show me. So many voices. What's your voice? Help me to hear your voice. Help me to know. And may it be a building of our relationship with Christ, our Savior, and God, our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, our Guide, the angel that comes down and lightens the earth with his glory, gives us the latter rain. I was just thinking the other morning I woke up, and I was thinking, man, with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the holy angels, all on our side, why would I even want to go along with the devil? I mean, what a team God has given us, that we may overcome as Christ overcame, according to Revelation 3, the end chapter there. I believe it's 20 or 21. A little further, but anyway, brothers and sisters, may it be to your God's name, honor, and glory. May we know when it's Satan, when it's the false prophets, and when it is Christ's second coming. The true, because Satan will deceive all except the very elect. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your answers to our prayers. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you tell us in so many places on your truth. If we didn't catch it the first time, Lord, wake us up. May we have eyes that see and ears that hear your truth. May it be to your name's honor and glory, and the furtherance of your work, and the blessings that we share these truths with those around us, whatever our influence. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us your truth. May we be part of the elect that are not deceived, who don't wander after the beast. But it's only through Jesus we can do this. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the latter rain that comes upon us now, some, and more abundantly as we grow. You enlighten the earth with your glory today, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the seventh-day Sabbath. Thank you for the blessings that come with it, and we accept it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, good. I just had to make sure that the microphone was back. All right, be back in a minute.
brother. Praise the Lord for the truth that cuts hearts. I'm going to sing, well, the roll is called up yonder. Amen.
Thank you. Oh, okay, let me get rid of the buzz. Okay, how's that? Is that better?
Do you want it plugged in?
No, you got to have it. That's got to be out when you're using the mic.
And then when you're not using the mic, we got to get speakers up here. There's something wrong with that monitor. It's causing that buzz. All right.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll and the roll is called up yonder, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn of the setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous loving care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll and the roll is called up yonder, when the roll and the roll is called up yonder, when the roll and the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Deacon Neal, please do so. Close off in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us and keeping us safe. Thank you for blessing us in the week ahead, especially as we travel. We have many loved ones that are out there that are they drive trucks for a living. And we pray you keep them safe on the road and all those that are using their regular cars to go back and forth to work as well. Keep them safe all throughout the week. Thank you for answering my prayer very quickly this early afternoon when the phone thing wasn't working properly. And thank you for protecting all the other equipment during that when that lightning hit the house. And keeping our home safe, too. Thank you for the lightning rods that were already on the house when we moved in. We thank you also, Father, for all the blessings that we have in Scripture and in Sister White's writings that help us get closer to home and a better understanding of your truth. We pray for the faith that moves mountains. We pray for the faith that can stand firm. We thank you for the trials and tribulations that come to help us grow strong just like a tree in the woods. When the wind blows, they get stronger bark, stronger roots and everything, and that's what we want, Father. We want to be very firmly planted in Christ so when that day comes and the devil does all his insane things, they won't bother us one bit because we are the elect. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.